You're listening to the Liberty News Radio Network, and this is the Political Cesspool. The Political Cesspool, known across the South and worldwide as the South's foremost populist conservative radio program, and here to guide you through the murky waters of the political cesspool is your host, James Edwards.
Welcome back, everybody, to tonight's live broadcast of the Political Cesspool. James Edwards here with you. In the wake of last week's Republican National Convention, I was there for it. I was there to watch history being made, and I was there as a credentialed member of the press. That's the power of the Political Cesspool and the Liberty News Radio Network. We were invited. We accepted the invitation. We were actually invited to both conventions, as I mentioned in the last hour. We accepted the one that wants to put America first and make America great again, rather than the one that, I won't even get into it because there's not the time. I want to say this, though. In preparation for the hysteria that is sure to grip this nation next week when the establishment press begins to attack us for having been there, to attack Trump, to attack the Republican Party and the Republican National Convention. Remember that we were invited to the other convention too first. We'll see if that gets any play. But Sam Bushman has already been attacked in a few articles. It's just the trickle before the dam breaks. And listen, we welcome the attacks. We have nothing for which we apologize. We have nothing that we're ashamed of. We're very proud to have a program and a network that stands for God, Family, Republic. Sam, his show, his wonderful show, really highlighting on the Constitution. Mine zeroes in on the double standards and hypocrisy regarding what is and isn't racism in 21st century America, how whites are always cast as the evildoers and other minorities are always cast as either the victims or the righteous. In fact, Sam had a black lady on his radio program who said essentially the way she sees it is all whites are racist, according to the media, and all blacks who support Donald Trump are sellouts. And that was an interesting conversation. Sam had an excellent cross-section. Not that we were looking for that. We were looking for interesting people to talk to, and when somebody came up to the booth and would ask to sit down with us, Sam let it happen. I say us. It was Sam's show, but Sam let it happen. And sometimes they were black, sometimes they were men, sometimes they were women. We had Jewish individuals on the show. We had conservatives. We had liberals. We had governors. We even had snack bar attendants. Yes, the last interview Sam did was with one, the sweet girl that was working the CNN commissary and giving us all this food. And we talked to her all week. She was actually the owner of the company that CNN had contracted with. Just a dear, sweet young lady. And so it was just a wonderful cross-section. And as I say, this is just me personally speaking for myself and for my program and not the network in general. But it's wonderful when you have people of other races agree with you on the issues. I think Jesse Lee Peterson is an outstanding person, for instance, and I'm glad to know him and be able to have interviewed him and appeared on CNN with him in the past. I think if you had people like that ascend to leadership positions in the black community, a lot of America's race problems would be solved. But of course, the media doesn't want that. They're not promoting Jesse Lee Peterson as a spokesman for the black community. They're promoting race baiters like Al Sharpton and Jesse Jackson. But I say we don't need to be sanctioned. We don't need to be told by minorities that our ideas are good. We do what we believe to be good and let the chips fall where they may. But anytime you have people across racial lines that agree with you and are willing to work with you, you should certainly be willing to work with them. And so that's what Sam was doing. We had interesting people on with a lot of different stripes, and it represented some diverse opinions and commentary, as you would expect when you're at an event like the Republican National Convention. It's not an echo chamber. Our positions certainly are inflexible, but we'll talk to anyone. So, and speaking of talking to people, do we have time to play that clip before the end of the break? I know we're getting tight on time now. I believe we have a four-minute clip, and I don't know if we have time to work it in, and I don't want to get it cut off. Okay, let's go ahead and cue it up. It's Joe Piscopo. Joe Piscopo, let's listen to it.
Well, folks, yet another treat. The one and only, the legendary Joe Piscopo. Joe, you just don't know who you're going to run into at RNC 2016. How are you?
Good, man. They grabbed me. They said, I got to go talk to James. I said, here I am, live and in person, man. How are you?
I appreciate you walking down to see me. I'm doing great. I'm better after last night when it became official that Donald Trump is the man to make America great again.
Well, it was so moving. It was so, the way Junior did it was so moving. Tears in his eyes. You know what? Tears in all of our eyes. And whether you're a Democrat, independent, whatever you are, you had to love that moment.
I said this to a previous guest a few minutes ago. If for no other reason, if you're on the fence, to know that this is a legitimate family. This isn't a stage-managed political family. These people have love for their father.
Yep.
They are out there fighting for him.
Yep.
They're taking arrows. They're battling the media.
Yep. Yep.
And it is, I have two children. I come from a great family with wonderful parents and grandparents. To me, that is extremely moving.
It really
Politics
is.
Aside, that means something.
You know what? And then Melania, man, I'll tell you, she was brilliant. She was on the money, on her game. And I've known Mr. Trump and see Melania at events, SNL 40, nonprofit events. Very nice. Very grounded. You know, when I remember I saw Melania seated at the SNL event. She elbows Donald, just like a regular couple would do.
Yeah.
Hey, it's Joe, like that. And Donald goes, hey, regular people. And then when she stepped up and did that speech, that was Jackie O quality. Maybe better.
She looked like Jackie O, too.
I'm telling
Not
you.
Bad looking, is she? No,
well, but the thing is, she didn't, you know, the way she executed everything. And you're right. The whole...
Classy, elegant, intelligent.
And then when the other side... And listen, I'm a lifelong damn now an independent. So I don't... I'm an animus toward anybody. But when you start criticizing and saying plagiarism, you're scared, brother. They're scared. When they saw Milan, and then Don Jr. nails it the next day, you gotta love it.
I wanted Don Jr. For VP, but
yeah,
I guess that ship has sailed. But I tell you what, the media is scared to death. I have never seen so many wild and unbridled accusations of racism and this, that,
sexism,
the other.
The sexism they're showing toward this girl, to Melania.
Yeah.
You know, and for Hillary's camp to do that, she should be embarrassed. And I'm not a Hillary hater, but they should be embarrassed. What's your game plan, man? You're going to just attack the other side? Come on. And you know what? They should let, if you like Donald, if you appreciate what's going on, they should just let it happen and celebrate, as we'll do next week in Philadelphia.
Look, it doesn't matter. The American people are celebrating, at least the ones that are going to vote right, in my opinion. And I said this earlier, too. Listen, I've never voted for a Republican candidate before. I didn't vote for the Democrats either. I've voted for third party, but I'm in the fold now, at least for this cycle, probably for the next one, too, because we got to do re-election, and we'll see where it goes from there. But let me ask you this in closing. Single biggest reason you showed up in Cleveland to turn out and show your support for Donald Trump?
To, out of respect for my radio audience. We go on every morning, if I may, AM 970, The Answer. You get AM970TheAnswer.com. I got a great team in the morning, Salem Media. They put us in New York. I backed into this radio thing. And then we started doing it, and we started bringing on pertinent, vital people, military people. Colonel Jack Jacobs and Steve Forbes comes on, and John Bolton comes on, you know, and General Michael Flynn comes on. And these guys all come out, and so we're like, my audience is the pulse of the people. It was my responsibility.
Let's hold up right there. If we can, my audience is the pulse of the people. This is Joe Piscopo, the most famously known for being an actor on Saturday Night Live. I got into this interview a little late. We'll finish it on the flip side.
Scott Bradley here. Most Americans are painfully aware that the nation is on the wrong track and in dire straits. Unfortunately, most political pundits only nibble around the edges when they claim to address the issues. Even worse, many of the so-called solutions are simply rewarmed servings of what got us into the mess we currently face. And the politicians think we're so gullible and naive that we'll buy their lies that they have reformed and now understand where they led us astray. Unfortunately, the truth of the matter is that they simply wish to continue to hold power. The solution to America's challenges is found in returning to the timeless principles found in the United States Constitution. My book and lecture series will reawaken in Americans an understanding and love of the principles which made this nation the freest, most prosperous, happiest, and most respected nation on earth. Visit topreservethenation.com and order my book and lectures to begin the restoration of this great nation.
Do you want to fix America's police and take the country back in the process? If you answered yes, then CSPOA needs you. CSPOA.org, the Constitutional Sheriffs and Peace Officers Association, is an organization comprised of citizens, sheriffs, police, and other government officials. We are taking America back sheriff by sheriff, county by county, and state by state. And we need you. Over 300 sheriffs constitutionally trained, we teach public servants the Constitution and need your help. Become a part of the solution today at CSPOA.org. Are you a business owner who offers high-quality products, services, or solutions? Do you love America and want your business to support a freedom-loving cause that will help defend the Constitution? Well, if the above describes your company, then I want to connect you with my loyal and like-minded listeners. Contact me at RestoreTheRepublicShow.com, and I will personally consult with you to build a sponsorship package that will grow your business. Support a message of freedom and become a sponsor of the Restore the Republic Show today. Together, we will restore the Republic.
If you're at all like me, you have a tough time remembering appointments and events. But ladies and gentlemen, I have the answer. It's a premier service on the internet called Memo to Me. It's free. You ought to try it. Now I never miss the honey-do items from my wife or the important business meetings. They have strict privacy protection. That means they will release your email address to no one ever. You will not get spam because of Memo to Me. Unmatched dependability. Ladies and gentlemen, these folks have been around since 1998, and they are absolutely up online all the time to send you your reminders and appointments. They have rock-solid reliability. They have 5 redundant internet connections, diesel-powered generators backing up the system. I'm telling you, Memo to Me is the premier reminder service on the internet. It's free. You ought to give it a try. And, oh, by the way, if you're not available at your computer to get your email reminders, they can even send a reminder to your cell phone or pager. I use MemoToMe.com daily and highly recommend it to you. MemoToMe.com. Memo to Me.
To get on the show and speak with James and the gang, call us toll-free at 1-866-986-6397. And now, back to tonight's show.
I hope y'all are enjoying this, folks, because this is a very big way to mainstream what we're doing here, to be invited to go to these conventions, to choose to go to the Republican convention, to rub elbows. That puts us where we deserve to be and where my audience should be. So I hope you appreciate the fact that it was very costly to go up there, but I thought that you deserved it, ladies and gentlemen, to have your voice, your proxy, your host, live in Cleveland at the Republican National Convention, to be your man on the ground and to observe and to report and to talk to the different interesting individuals that were there, elected officials and otherwise. I've got all of these interviews that we've got to unload and unpack. I don't know if we'll be able to get to them all even this week, because I really wanted to spend some time the first hour painting a verbal picture about what it was like from my point of view and share that with you. And now we're going to try to get to a lot of interviews over the course of the remainder of the show this evening. The first one we're playing is with actor Joe Piscopo. Joe Piscopo, most famously known for his character and performances on Saturday Night Live. He now has a radio show up in the New York, New Jersey area. And I started his clip a little late in that first segment, so we didn't get a chance to hear all of it, and we had to cut it off. But what I was talking to Joe about in the remainder, I think there's 20 seconds left in this clip. Basically, I was talking to him about the fact that the media was, of course, as you know, very biasly reporting that the Republican Party was horrible, the convention was just a disaster, there was infighting, there was disunity, the speeches were plagiarized. Just, it was dark, it was vengeful, and here was Joe Piscopo's answer to that.
But let's celebrate it. Don't argue. Don't be divisive. Celebrate the greatness of the United States of America. It's who we are.
We're talking about the people. I think the people's champion emerged from that crowded field in the GOP primary, and he's going to give it his all.
No one can argue with you about that.
Hey, God bless you, Joe Piscopo, everybody.
You,
thank you.
See you, man.
You take care. All right.
So I had a digital recorder. I'm not broadcasting live. I'm at our booth, and we actually had Matt the Copperhead. It was Sam Bushman's stroke of genius to enlist one of our correspondents, Matt the Copperhead, to be our administrative assistant or utility man on the ground. And so Matt the Copperhead was going around and pulling in interviews for me. And I have no idea who these people are when he brings them to me, but we just I have a digital recorder and we're taping content for the program. Sam Bushman and I ran into Ann Coulter in the corridor, and we had a couple of minutes with her. She was pulled in a lot of different directions. She was actually one of the busiest people I saw in Cleveland, and she had a contingent with her, handlers, if you will, that were keeping her very busy. And we just actually bumped into her at random, and she stopped for a couple of minutes, even though she was on her way to another interview. So it was a very short interview, a very short talk with Ann Coulter, and Sam Bushman was with me, and here's how it went.
All right, hi, Sam Bushman here live. We got Ann Coulter with us, James Edwards and Sam Bushman doing the interview here. Ann, so interestingly enough, we watched and read your columns and talked about them on the air for years.
Excellent. You're very wise people.
Quick question for you, though. You've been kind of down on Pence being the VP pick. Why?
Well, that was before he was the actual vice presidential pick. That's when he was the rumored vice presidential pick. My position is, as when one of your friends gets engaged to a loser, you can attack and attack and attack during the engagement. Once they walk down the aisle, you have to zip your lip, and that's basically what I'm doing with Pence. I wanted Kris Kobach. I mean, that is an easier way to explain it. And if you don't know Kris Kobach, look him up, because now I'm hoping to have him be director of Homeland Security. He is magnificent.
Not Pat Buchanan, huh?
Hey, I got my start with Pat, so you can't go too far to the right for me. But I would ask you this. When Trump descended from that escalator about a year ago,
Yep. You
were one of the first to get on it. We were doing it, too. You got a little more press than we did. But do you take a sense of ownership in what's happening tonight?
I take a sense of ownership in the fact that he read Adios America. I was trying to get Republican candidates for president. President. Donors, the Koch brothers, please read this book. I've read Exit to them. I had private conferences with them. Donald Trump saw my interview with Jorge Ramos a week before Adios America came out. I'm on my way to the Miami airport, get an email from him saying, can I have a copy of your book overnighted to me? And that all came out in that June 16th speech. That's where I got that spicy stuff about Mexican rapists.
Hey, he used it.
Yes, he did.
I tell you, this is a great shift for the Republic. This will be the first Republican I voted for. I voted for Pat in 2000. I went conservative ever since, conservative third party. I like the nationalism. I like the populism. I like America First. All that's great. And I think our mutual friend Peter Brimelo is happy about this, too. And I know Peter's in town.
Yes. And by the way, I see it looks like people are getting impatient here. I want to say the next book, just turned in the last edits, out August 23rd, is called In Trump We Trust, E Pluribus Awesome.
Last word, Sam?
Quick question. Do you think that Donald Trump is going to unify the night? Any predictions on any unique things that happen at his speech or on the final night, number one? Number two, do you think Hillary's going to end up in prison?
No. Democrats don't go after Democrats. But it doesn't matter. As long as she's not president. I'm glad that she wasn't indicted, because I wanted her to be the one Trump ran against. I want to beat her fair and square.
What about tonight?
I think it's going to be great. It's the most important night of the convention.
Any predictions of any unique things to happen?
The unique thing to happen is August 23rd, In Trump We Trust, E Pluribus Awesome.
Thanks, Ann.
Thank you.
All right, so that was Ann Coulter, a very impromptu interview. We're going one way, she's going the other, being hurried and rushed by her representatives to get to other programs that had pre-booked her. We run into her in the hall. She's gracious enough to stop with us for a couple of minutes, as you just heard, and that was that. So that was Ann Coulter, and you heard before from actor Joe Piscopo. This is just a teaser, ladies and gentlemen, of what we enjoyed during the experience we had at the Republican National Convention. What you will hear for the rest of this hour, and then in the third hour, I've got more interviews than I can play tonight, I can tell you that much, but we're going to play about a half a dozen interviews that I did with members of the United States House of Representatives, all great guys. We had a good time talking with them, and we'll try to unpack some of those in the third hour. But coming up in this hour, we've got a former CIA agent who led the invasion of Afghanistan. He told me off the record, well, it was on the record, but off air. This wasn't a secret, okay? So I'm not divulging a secret that he asked me not to divulge. But he told me before we started taping that he regretted the course of action that America took in Afghanistan. But nevertheless, at the time, he led the invasion of Afghanistan, a CIA agent. We're going to talk to him. We're also going to, you're also going to hear from Gary Byrne, an author on a tell-all book on Hillary Clinton. He is a former Secret Service agent who served in the White House during the Clinton administration. You're going to want to hear what he has to say. And also Milo Yiannopoulos. Milo Yiannopoulos. You're going to hear from him. He has been banned from Twitter for, I don't know what, disturbing the peace, for having a conservative perspective. We'll unpack that with Milo, one of the most flamboyant characters I've ever met in life, not just this week, but in life. And if you're enjoying the show, let me know. I hope this isn't self-indulgent. I want to tell you what we did. I want to tell you who we talked to. I want to share with you these experiences because, of course, having access to something like this is obviously unique for anyone, for anyone. It should be a privilege for anyone to be able to go there and to have a voice and to share with their audience firsthand what's going on inside the inner workings of something like a convention that's nominating perhaps and hopefully the next American president. Share with me your thoughts, your questions. We'll try to get to a few of them. James Edwards at thepoliticalcesspool.org. James Edwards at thepoliticalcesspool.org. We'll be back right after this.
Exposing corruption, informing citizens, pursuing liberty. You're listening to Liberty News Radio.
With news this hour from LibertyNewsDaily.com, I'm William Grigg. The haste with which the Turkish government moved to arrest thousands of suspected plotters following the failed coup attempt has given rise to speculation that the event was either staged by the Erdogan regime or that it had been thoroughly infiltrated long in advance. Mere hours after the attempted putsch was turned back, roughly 6,000 people, ranging from top military commanders to foot soldiers, as well as judges and prosecutors, had been rounded up, notes Reuters. Despite the turbulence of the recent coup attempt in Turkey, and the draconian consolidation of power by President Erdogan, military contractor Lockheed Martin will fulfill an order for new F-16 fighter planes. Secretary of State John Kerry has advised Ankara that Turkey may be evicted from the NATO alliance if Erdogan's authoritarian rule deepens. You are listening to LibertyNewsDaily.com. Authoritarian rulers are often compared to Adolf Hitler by critics, but few of them actually offer that comparison themselves, as Turkish President Erdogan has in justifying his demand for extraordinary powers following a failed coup attempt that he might have orchestrated. After being constitutionally banned from seeking a fourth term as prime minister, Erdogan was elected last year to the largely ceremonial office of the president. He now seeks a constitutional amendment that would turn that office into a functional dictatorship. Responding to critics who have objected to this arrangement, Erdogan declared that, quote, "There are already examples of it in the world. You can see it when you look at Hitler's Germany. There are later examples in various other countries." If you want a win-win-win opportunity for patriots, think GiveMeLibertyFund.com. For LibertyNewsDaily.com, I'm William Grigg.
Each week, the political cesspool, known worldwide as the South's foremost populist conservative radio program, hits the airwaves to bring you the other side of the news and to report on events which are vital to your welfare but are hushed up or distorted by the mainstream media. However, to continue doing this, we need your support. Go online at www.thepoliticalcesspool.org and make a safe and secure donation. If you prefer not to make an online donation, You can send us a check or money order to the address on the website. No matter which way you choose, the Political Cesspool needs your support. Go online to www.thepoliticalcesspool.org and make a donation today. It's time to jump back into the political cesspool. To be part of the show and have your voice heard around the world, call us at 1-866-986-6397.
Lots of emails coming in, lots of interviews left to play. I had one email that asked if I felt comfortable being amongst the members of the press, considering our very volatile relationship. Yes, I did. I felt comfortable because I had every right to be there. Well, as much of a right as anyone can have at a private venue. I certainly feel as though my professionalism, my audience is on par with many of theirs. And so by that standard, certainly the Liberty News Radio Network, Liberty Roundtable Radio Program, the Political Cesspool Radio Program deserved to have a seat at the table. You don't go mainstream until you are able to do mainstream things. And so this was a great opportunity for us, but I certainly felt very good about it and was very comfortable and very much at ease going up and talking to these people. I have a bit of an ego, I'll let you know. I've done a lot, I've accomplished a lot. This show has made hundreds of millions of dollars worth of press over the course of its 12-year run. So you get a little bit of a healthy ego with that, a healthy ego. So I don't like going up and asking people for pictures like a fan might do. I certainly like taking pictures with people. If someone wants to take a picture with me, I consider that to be an honor. But I don't like going up to people. But I would go up to some of these people. And we're going to post an article about my experience this week at thepoliticalcesspool.org. We're going to have some of these pictures. So I went up to some of these people and I said, I'd like to get a picture for my audience. And it's going to be a photo journal along with the article, and you're going to see some interesting pictures. I think the last person I took a picture with was Alan Combs, and he broke my camera, so that put put an end to that. But anyway, he was a nice guy, too. They were all nice. But let's go to this former CIA agent that led the invasion of Afghanistan. Had an interesting conversation with him. He was very animated and sounded every bit like a soldier. Here he is.
Folks, we have Gary Bernstein with us now, a former CIA agent, author of the New York Times best-selling book, Jawbreaker, Attack on Bin Laden and Al-Qaeda. He led the invasion of Afghanistan after 9/11. So you are contributing your expertise to the Trump campaign in the form of national security advisor.
Correct. I'm a surrogate for the campaign on this, and I'm working with their policy shop.
What led you to lend your name and expertise to the Trump campaign specifically?
I believe that in the United States that we've got to change the direction of the country. We need stronger leadership. I'm horrified by the failures of the current administration, their failures to understand national security, to execute policies in accordance with the law, and in a way that defends American interests.
You said just a moment ago that your opinion on how the Middle East was handled after 9/11 has changed a little bit.
Well, what I would say is this, and let me just frame this for you in national security.
Sure.
Under the law, since 1986, there was a law passed in 86 called Goldwater-Nichols. What it says is each administration must draft a national security strategy in the first 120 days of any administration. So since 1986, Reagan did his two, Bush 41 did his four, Clinton did 7 of 8, George Bush 43 did his, and actually, because he was at war, he did two major ones and then large addendums. But the Obama administration has only done like 1.5 of these things. And they have not, as a requirement of law, they have failed to draft national security strategies. Therefore, the Pentagon doesn't have a framework to draft a national military strategy. The Congress has no idea how to budget for the president's concept of national security. So it's essentially been a disaster over the last couple of years. And it's a violation of law. But, of course, neither the Congress or the media want to hold the president to account for this, which is also disgraceful.
What would you like to see President Trump
Trump do with regards to foreign policy and particularly our presence in the Middle East?
What I would say is this. Trump has been accused and attacked at times because he's questioned NATO, he's questioned various alliances. What we need is a zero-based review on everything. We need to look at all of our alliances, all of our relationships, and do a zero-based review. There are some places in the United States where we don't need to have forces or can have less. We do need to surge into those areas where there is greater trouble. Perfect example. Let's look at ISIS. Let's look at the fact that we probably ought to have NATO, someone in NATO needs to invoke Article 5. We need to put a force on that border. It is 35 miles from the Turkish border to Raqqa. We need to go clean those people out. When I entered Afghanistan in October of 2001, people thought, oh, the Americans are going to, you know, they're going to have trouble. It's going to be difficult. We went with 125 CIA officers, 350 SF. And we defeated 70,000 members of the Taliban in 7 weeks. Spare me on this. These guys are not 10 feet tall. We will run them over in about 6 weeks. Then what we need to do, the harder part of this, is not actually just destroying ISIS in Raqqa. The harder part is what comes next. How do you build a security environment there? You'll need the Turkish support. Look, the Turks played a very large role. When we invaded Afghanistan in 2001, they provided security on the ground for the next 2 years. So we'll need to work with our alliance, NATO, our European partners, but they're going to have to step up, and I believe they will now because they are getting hammered by terrorists. They're getting hammered. They have not dedicated the resources that they need. They need to step it up. They need to meet their requirements under NATO, which means 2% of GDP, which they have been failing to do, many of them. And we need to get down to the business of destroying ISIS.
Donald Trump certainly represents a change in his proposed tactics in our foreign policy from previous Republican administrations. Certainly a great departure from what we have with Obama and what we could expect to have under a Clinton administration. I, for one, am hugely supportive of his proposal to ban immigrants from, or refugees, or whatever you want to call them, from these pockets of the world that are manifesting radical Islamic terrorism. The media, of course, calls that racist. The media calls everyone and every policy they don't agree with racist.
Let me explain something about immigration that most people don't understand. The United States operates a system of immigration under the U.S. Immigration and Nationality Act, which allows us to bring in 1.3 million per year into the numerical category. Those are people who are relatives, brothers, sisters, children, and then another 300,000 per year that marry Americans. So we're allowing 1.6 million per year to immigrate to the United States. We allow more legal immigration to the United States than all countries on the globe combined. There's absolutely nothing wrong with reviewing this, reducing the numbers, looking at the categories, and especially adding great care to areas where we have instability and no ability to do a background check. And let me give an example. When someone immigrates, they've got to have a chest x-ray, right? Because if they have TB, we don't let them in. We also have to do local police checks. How do you do local police checks in a place like Syria or Somalia or some other area like Raqqa? Someone who lives, you know, right down the street from Raqqa that wants to immigrate. We're going to have to change the system. We're going to have, and Donald Trump, his statements on that have not been, have provided the specificity maybe that's been needed, but his heart's in the right place because he sees this great and growing danger, both in Europe and in the United States, in terms of threat to the population from terrorism.
Well, you mentioned the numbers, and of course we're letting in far more than that, just via illegal.
No. My point was my numbers were the legal numbers.
Right,
and then double those numbers when you want to think about
at least
overstays, crossing the border. Look, we allow 16 million people to come in a decade, and in that last decade, another 16 million probably entered illegally and have not left.
And so many not assimilating, not
agreed,
becoming Americans. Last question, with regards to immigration and foreign policy, how much of a threat would Hillary Clinton be
to this country.
Look, Mrs. Clinton has allied herself with the open borders crowd. And the reason is they want to change the demographics of the United States to ensure that they can continue to remain in power. And it's a formula for disaster. It's bad for the economy. It's bad for national security. It's bad for domestic security. It's insane. And I think that anyone that has any sense at all needs to recognize that a sovereign nation has a responsibility and a right to defend its borders. And that means securing them, reducing immigration. Look, this is not rocket science, but the people on the other side of this argument on the left are attempting to fundamentally change America. You remember President Obama made that statement. You know, it's like saying to your wife, I love you, baby, I want to marry you, but I'm going to fundamentally change you. No, we're not changing the United States. We're going to consistently remain in the Constitution of the United States, and we make these decisions for ourselves, not some third world group, you know, not some group internationalists making this decision.
I couldn't agree more with your commentary in that last statement. Give us the name of your book again and how people can go out and buy it.
Well, I've written several books. I wrote Jawbreaker.
Which one do you want them to buy right now?
Attack on Bin Laden and Al-Qaeda was the bestseller, but I've written novels, policy books. Look, the point is I'm not here to sell books. I'm here to sell people on voting for Donald Trump right now. And I would ask everybody who's an American citizen anywhere in the world, donate to the cause. Make sure you get your absentee ballots in. Do everything you can to help us make America great again.
Will America be made great again in November?
Donald Trump is going to crush Hillary Clinton.
People will be shocked.
People will be shocked. This is going to be like the 1980s. Back in 1978-79, we lost countries like Ethiopia, went to the left. Mozambique went to the left. Angola, we had hot wars in Central America. The population knew something is terribly wrong with the leadership being provided, and we turned to Reagan. The country will turn to Trump.
God bless you, sir. Thank you for your energy, dedication, charisma, and enthusiasm. Trump's lucky to have you on his side.
It's a great pleasure.
Have a good day.
This is Joyce Riley from the Power Hour, and I want to introduce you to Numana Storable Foods. This is the first brand of storable foods that I am willing to put my name behind. It's food you can trust. No GMOs, no MSG, no chemical preservatives, and no fake meat. Plus, Numana doesn't just make that claim. They back it up with independent evaluation and testing. Another thing that Numana really does that excites me is the delicious vegetarian options. If your standards are as high as mine, I can confidently tell you that Numana Storable Foods are the quality choice that you've been waiting for. Numana won't just meet your expectations, they will exceed them. And that's why we're thrilled to have the good guys from Numana joining the Power Hour family. Go to powerprepper.com and learn about Numana Storable Foods. You can also call 877-817-9829. That's 877-817-9829. Numana, the storable food you'll love to eat.
We fought, we learned, we struggled,
we won.
Despite Obama's best efforts, the newspaper of the human resistance survives. We have lived only to face a new nightmare, the war against the machines. Read about our struggle in The Sovereign, newspaper of the resistance. The Sovereign is a 24-page monthly tabloid newspaper about the war between man and machines. We've tried reason, we've tried legislation. We've tried every peaceful means imaginable, and all it's gotten us is shut out. So now we fight the machines. Order online today at thesovnews.com or find The Sovereign at select newsstands. Remember to read The Sovereign, newspaper of the resistance. The human resistance's battle against the machines will be everlasting. This is mercy. It was never our destiny to stop the age of Obama. It was merely to survive it. Together. Together.
Are you familiar with the term vigor? Strength in body and mind? He pursued his tennis game with vigor, for example? Well, I hadn't, but I learned about it from Kirk Crosby. All right, and he actually let me take a scientifically proven free vigor test. And I got 13 out of 32, not very good. But I worked on it with him, and believe it or not, now I have a 29 out of 32 and improving vigor score. You say, Sam, what on earth is this scientific vigor score, huh? My response is you got to take the free test, available now. Get a hold of Kirk Crosby to learn about it. The number is 801-669-2211. That's 801-669-2211. Or email Kurt, C-U-R-T, at libertyroundtable.com. That's Kurt, C-U-R-T, at libertyroundtable.com for your free vigor test today. Kurt, libertyroundtable.com, or 801-669-2211. Vigor test free, scientifically proven today.
welcome back. To get on the show, call us on James's Dime at 1-866-986-6397.
All right, everybody. In that last segment, you heard me talking with Gary Bernstein, who was a former CIA agent who led the invasion of Afghanistan. Let's go now to, where are my notes? See, I don't even remember. Gary Byrne. Gary Byrne wrote a tell-all book about his time in the Secret Service under the Clinton administration, and a very interesting book. In fact, I saw Gary Byrne on TV not long ago. I want to say it was the O'Reilly Factor. And oh, yeah, all of those people with Fox News, Bill O'Reilly, Sean Hannity, Megyn Kelly, could have thrown a rock. I wouldn't do that, of course, but could have thrown something at him. Let's just say a football. We could have played catch with each other from where I was sitting and where they were sitting the moment that Trump was nominated or officially won the nomination that night. So here is Gary Byrne. Listen to him.
I know where I can find this.
Folks, it's my pleasure and privilege to bring to you Gary Byrne, author of Crisis of Character, a White House Secret Service officer discloses his firsthand experience with Hillary, Bill, and how they operate. Getting a lot of buzz out there, are we not?
It is, and I'm grateful for it. Thank you.
Well, you're very welcome. Thanks for spending a couple of minutes with us. I guess we'll start with the obvious question. What brings you to Cleveland?
Well, my agents and publishers got us passes, and we're trying to get our message out about my book, Crisis of Character. And my message, the reason I wrote the book is because I want the American people to know who the real Hillary Clinton is. That this facade that they have, that she's this great leader, is completely false. And you don't have to really pay too much attention to realize that.
I'm not sure if there's one person in my audience that would be voting for Hillary Clinton, but for those, for the benefit of those who are tuning in to hear the RNC coverage,
sure,
what can you tell us about her and the way they operate that most people couldn't?
So the Clinton machine, as I call it, is just a series of lies. They get caught in something, they lie. It cycles around. They blame everybody else. The best example of this is the incident in Benghazi recently. She put some people in a position and didn't give them the equipment they needed and the stuff they needed to protect themselves. They had to fight for 13 hours. We know about the people that were killed, unfortunately. And then, instead of staying there and showing the American people that she's a leader, she blamed a video, but put the blame on somebody else, and then moved on to the next scandal, which was the email server. And then she went to run for president. So basically, you know, either she's incompetent or she's and she lies. She's either incompetent or she just doesn't know what she's doing, which is the same thing, really. I detail in my book Crisis of Character many examples of her bad decisions, and the fact that every time she gets caught in a lie, they blame these other people and they move on to the next thing. It's insane. It's insane to think that she's a leader.
You obviously felt it was very important to share your firsthand knowledge of this particular candidate with the American people. I know you did it for a greater reason than just to sell a book that you knew would be a hot take.
Yeah.
Why is it important that the American people know this?
Well, here's the thing.
And what threats, if you don't mind me adding, threats would having someone of that low character mean for our country going forward?
Well, basically, this is my fear. If she does get elected, I want to be able to look my kids in the face and tell them I did the best I could to stop it. Because I don't want what happened when her husband ran. When the country elected Bill Clinton, they got Bill and Hillary. If we elect Hillary, we're going to get Hillary and Bill. And we're going to go from one scandal to the next just like he did. If it wasn't women, it was Filegate, it was you name it, the scandal was there. There were so many scandals during Bill Clinton's administration that you couldn't list them single space on two pieces of paper. It was insane. And she was a Secretary of State for 4 years. We had the scandals we know of now are Benghazi and then the email scandal. Who works in the government for more than 10 minutes and doesn't realize they can't use their own private servers and should never move classified information over the internet? Everybody does, except for her. So the FBI director basically said,
okay, welcome back. We had a little, I guess, disruption there, but that was Gary Byrne. His book, Crisis of Character, is one you should check out. You've seen him on all of the major TV shows and now heard him on the Political Cesspool. We have one more interview. We want to play this hour, and then we've got much, much, much more in the third hour. Hope you're enjoying this post-RNC convention recap, as only the political cesspool could give. Milo Yiannopoulos. Now, that is an interesting character. I am very much in favor of some of Milo's politics. I appreciate the fact he is supporting Trump. He is also a open homosexual. Now, that's where we have a departure. I am in no way whatsoever supportive or in agreement with the homosexual agenda. But it comes down to this question. Do you talk to someone with whom you disagree? Are you able to carry on a conversation with someone that you are at odds with on certain issues while agreeing with them on the other issue? I would say yes. I would say certainly when people come on this radio program, they should not be held accountable for everything I have ever said, done, or thought, as the media certainly tries to do. At the same time, we should be able to have interviews with people with whom we are not in 100% agreement. And let's talk real politic. Let's talk real politic here for a second. Trump should do some horse trading. One of the things that I didn't like about Trump's speech, really the only thing I didn't like about Trump's speech, was he gave this ode or this nod to the LGBTQ, RSLTLNE crowd. But if you're going to make that part of it, do some horse trading on so-called homosexual discrimination legislation. Expand the discrimination law to include political viewpoint discrimination, protecting dissidents from losing their jobs. Now, this would also apply to large internet companies like Facebook and Twitter. Regulate them like public utilities. And there was one, interesting little thing. So Milo gets banned from Twitter. Milo gets completely kicked off Twitter for doing things that they don't agree with, or saying things they don't agree with. There was a great celebration amongst people, and particularly in the media, when Milo got banned from Twitter. They celebrated that Twitter did that, saying that Twitter had the right to do that because they're a private enterprise. These same people are the ones that forced the Christian bakeries, the private Christian bakeries, to bake cakes for homosexual weddings. So again, hypocrisy and double standards in play. But I think, though, the idea needs to be floated that if Trump supports expanding discrimination laws to include homosexuals, he should also expand free speech laws for political dissidents. Platforms benefiting from monopoly-like network effects will have to respect free speech like a government actor. And also, he should clarify law to require actual evidence of willful discrimination, no disparate impact. Do we have the interview with Milo queued up? And do we have time to play it this hour is an even bigger question, because I know we're getting close and I've run into the brakes a couple of times on other interviews.
They're saying things they don't agree with.
I know we're having a brief moment of computer malfeasance at the studio, and I'm connected via cell phone on my Skype account. And so we may have to hold that Milo interview until the third and final hour, during which you will hear from an assortment, we hope, of United States congressmen with whom we have taped interviews. Let's play Milo right now, though. Here's Milo, very flamboyant. Here he is.
Yeah, go ahead. All right, folks, you just never know who you're going to run into at the Republican National Convention here in Cleveland. And
we're too lucky.
Milo Yiannopoulos, he is a certified thought criminal today, being banned from Twitter as the assault on freedom of speech and oppression continues. Your reaction to having the guillotine fall upon your head?
Well, most people think I'm going to be upset at having my Twitter account taken away. They don't realize it's the best thing that could possibly happen. They've turned me into a superstar. They've turned me into a free speech martyr. And what have I lost? Nothing.
Martyrs do get further.
No, I'm serious.
The unafflicted.
I didn't even have to lose an arm or lose a head. I mean, it's great. I'm thinking of the famous martyrs from history. They all had to die. What did I lose? A social media account. This is wonderful. No, look, I've known this was coming for a long time. They waited until I got into a little spat with somebody because she's a black woman. You know, they know that the liberal press are going to stick up for them.
You cannot
criticize or have a difference of opinion with a minority, or you become obviously a white supremacist, a bigot,
yeah,
a zealot.
But you know, no single report has mentioned the fact that I'm a fag. No single report has been like, this is like gay man against black woman. Like, who knows who the top minority is? I'll tell you, I'm oppressed. I demand to have restitution. No, I mean, it's silly, right? But no, none of the reports mention that, of course, because that doesn't fit the narrative. You don't want to paint me as a victim, because then things get difficult. Then the left has to start choosing between, is it going to be black women or gays? Is it going to be Muslims or gays? Is it going to be Hispanics or blacks? This is what the left has done to us. They've split us all into these little warring minority factions.
The standing on the diversity totem pole can be adjusted according to the dictates of political correctness.
It seems like white gay men are now just as privileged as you guys.
All right, let me ask you this. Would you consider yourself to be a part, either implicitly or explicitly, of what has emerged and become colloquially known as the alt-right?
No, I'm the first and I think still the only journalist to give them a fair hearing in the media. I wrote a long profile, which you can read at Breitbart, called An Establishment Conservative's Guide to the Alt-Right, which I think is probably the fairest assessment of the general contours of that movement. Other people have just been anxious to call it racist, sexist, white supremacist. I don't think that tells even remotely the whole story. So I've given them a fair hearing. I know a couple of the people in the movement. I don't describe myself as alt-right now.
All right, let's hold on right there. We had just a brief hiccup of technical difficulty, which has now been resolved. We may play that interview from the top and then get into these interviews with the congressman, because it is an interesting discussion, I think. Stay tuned, everybody.
But don't go away. There's more to come right here on the Liberty News Radio Network.